Okay, so let's start.
Hi, I'm Hungrybox.
This is TS Type Zero.
Hey, this is Mango. You're listening to TSR.
TCR.
TCR?
TCR. The center ring.
That's what I said. I did say TCR.
Hello, hello, and welcome, everyone, to another edition of The Center Ring. New intro, boys. New intro.
Loving it, man.
Okay, we'll see how we feel.
TSR?
I'm not completely sold on it. But we are TCR, a.k.a. The Center Ring, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. What episode is it? 67, coming to you live, pre-recorded, from the home studio, if you couldn't tell from the awkward-sounding mics, maybe. I feel like I'm too critical on the self. I'm a perfectionist in news.
I noticed Brett's only.
It's in my head at this point.
I'm just playing. Didn't know.
We'll just turn Brett down and he'll never know. He'll just talk throughout the whole show.
That's good.
But that won't be why this is the best episode ever. No. Because we have tons to get to. Last week was our live on-air performance on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket. And I felt like it went pretty well. Got a lot of fan reception, got a lot of new listeners, got people joining the Discord. Everyone's always good there. But it was just the major, so we didn't get a whole lot of chance to talk about Evo, which just happened last weekend, so we'll recap Evo. We will talk about some Overwatch League. Some news broke there that is at least 5 or 10 minutes of noteworthy stuff. And, of course, we're going to break down the pool play for the PGL Major.
The drama.
The drama. The
And on so many levels.
The sparks. Of course, I am your host, Tim. The Indian voice you hear is Anuj.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, no problem.
So I'm sure that sounds like 100. That probably sounds like full Arabic to people when they hear me.
Anuj Baji Ajay.
Good lord, you saved it.
Isn't that your name?
Anuj Baji Ajay.
That's my African name, as we said last time.
Baji Ajay.
And then, of course,
I want that as a ringtone.
The man who's not in the room with us, Brett. Brett, hello, sir.
I missed you.
What is up?
How's it going?
What is up?
Good.
Good. I'm glad. Again, join our Discord. That's always good discussions there. We're during the major matches. Normally, all of us are in there interacting, except for Anuj. He's on our Facebook group chat. Then you have our Twitter. Got to plug the Twitter, of course, at the Center Ring. And one thing we never plug, but I'm going to do it this once, our iTunes. We also, you know, obviously we post on pretty much anything you can get a podcast on. A review, whatever you do on that specific app, always helps us. I know iTunes, someone said, told me the other day that we don't have enough reviews on iTunes to show, like a rating.
Yeah.
I don't know how much it counts. I don't know how much people need to do it, but I'm going to tell you to do it right now. Go to iTunes if you have the app, or do whatever you have to do and leave a review. An honest one, you know?
Almost honest.
Almost honest.
Almost honest.
Like, when your girlfriend asks if she looks good in those clothes.
You are that, the best
that
looking
type
woman
of
I've
honesty
ever seen.
Is what I want from you.
I'm brutally honest.
Yeah, we know you are. So we have, let's get on to the show though, because like I said, there's a lot to get to. Evo was last week. Evo is by far Anuj, so you can't see him, Brett. Anuj is very giddy right now. Because he likes to change up our show notes with inappropriateness as we find it.
Yeah, I know. I know. I pulled a fast one on him. If you see up there,
I saw yours.
I think. Brett with the Nuge.
We need to be mature here. He did replace it with the Nuge. So
hey, fire with fire.
Play yourself. It's not a family appropriate though. We are a family show. Also, real quick, I just want to go on a little tangent here, and then we'll get on to Evo talk. I swear. Okay, but I just like to peel back the curtain, let our listeners into our life a little bit. So we are a family show, if you haven't noticed. We try to keep the cussing and swearing down to a minimum. We pretty much try to be, like, radio appropriate.
90% of the time.
90% of the time. So last week, before we did the radio show, I normally work on radio, so I know all the rules. Anuj and Brett, though, are not. And I kept reminding them, do not swear, do not say this, don't do that, okay? And Anuj was like, I never swear on the show.
Never.
And you were being honest.
Like, I feel did like you, I don't do it.
Did you go back and listen to old episodes? You definitely swear the most.
Maybe, like, once every three episodes.
I'm saying, you know, it's not that bad, but it's... You definitely do it the most.
You have a soundbite for my name. Do you have any soundbites for the curse words?
No, we don't. We don't mark the curse words. We go move we past should. Them. We move past. We
start.
Them.
We could start a show swear jar.
I would say it'll be our first sponsor. What's up? So let's get on to this Evo talk though, because it is easily I think I was discussing with Brett earlier today at work. Evo is easily one of my favorite events of the year. Like, hands down, when it comes to, I mean, anything. You want to talk about normal sports, you know, my wedding, you know, hands down, Evo's on top of it, right? So, it is, if you don't know what Evo is, it's Evolution. I think that's just what it stands for. It's like ESPN, no one really knows.
Something
no one,
like that.
Call me out on it, you don't know. But it is, by far, the biggest fighting game tournament of the year. It's the Super Bowl, if you win Evo, it's... normally like the king of that game, like even comparatively speaking to where if your game has like a league like Street Fighter, you know, I would say even winning Evo is right up there with winning the Pro League in my eyes. And I think in most people, if you win Evo, it's definitely a notch on your belt.
It's like the World Series of Poker, man. Like, everybody knows it, you know, you've heard, at least heard of it if you're in the gaming world. That's one of the oldest standing tournaments, isn't it, at this point? I mean, I feel like it's been around
since... No, it's been around for a while. Forever. I'm not sure off the top of my head on when it started, but it's been around.
I mean, I've watched several different types of major tournaments for esports, and the emotion after a loss, you could just tell it means something to them. Like, you watch a Counter-Strike event, and, you know, you see a team lose, and they're just like... A few minutes later, they're laughing on Twitter, right? But, like, I was watching, for example, I watched the Street Fighter V final, and Punk lost, and you could just tell he was just devastated.
Well, and even on the flip side, the win, right? When they win, it's like, for example, I think it was maybe 2 years ago when HBox won Evo. I mean, he broke down on stage. Like, he won and just, he couldn't contain himself. It was the first time he won Evo. I think that was... Evo 2015.
I mean, I don't want to say you're more emotionally invested, but like no, it's one on one, you know. There's, so there's such a personal attachment,
stage, right? It's
to like
you and
the
one
gameplay.
Other dude on that.
It's
stage.
Like whatever you do determines winning or losing.
Which, by the way, just like last year, it's always in Vegas, and they put on a flawless production every time. To the stage, to the sound crew, without flaw, this tournament runs all weekend long.
Take some notes, CS.
I don't know what it is, but they don't break everything, believe it or not. It's a really good show, apart from when Twitch decides to go down in the middle of the top 8 for Super Smash Bros. 4. That was not cool, but that's not Evo's fault. I just want to kind of quickly run through some of the big games and storylines here. So Street Fighter V, you have Tokido. He ended up beating Punk, like Brett just mentioned. Punk was taking second. Easily, he's, you know, number one, I think, in Pro League right now from the last time I checked, and Tokido's number two. Okay? So it's kind of your top right there. Now, the one thing to take away from this, though, is Mok got fifth place. Do you guys know who Mok is?
I know he's unsponsored.
Wow, look at you. Someone look read the notes.
Look at that.
Someone
learning
read the
something.
Notes. And it's don't be ashamed to, you know, even tell the listener if you don't know who Mok is. He is unsponsored, and he got fifth place.
He's going to get sponsored real quick.
But you don't see that very often, right? You never see that unsponsored team anymore. That's why one of the reasons I love the fighting game community, because for the most part, all their tournaments are pretty much open invite.
Like anybody can go play.
Yeah, open registry. Yep. You go in, you play, and just like this dude here proved himself on Street Fighter V, one of the toughest games to do that, I would say. Maybe apart from Melee, to break into the scene. And he ended up doing that, so that's pretty dope.
And that's like you said, in the Super Bowl of tournaments
right,
for them.
Exactly.
You know? So
the best of the best are going to that.
You're definitely
going
to get recognized, and good for him.
Yeah, and then you have one other factoid here for Street Fighter V. This was, again, on ESPN2. Their ratings or their average viewers were down from 2016. This year they averaged about 180,000 viewers. Whereas to last year on the simulcast, they averaged about 200,000. Take it with a grain of salt, right? I mean, it's...
I mean, we talked about that last... one of the last episodes, right? Where, you know, numbers were down and...
I mean, numbers are down for the registry. This is just in general, I guess, if you're... Is your point that just in general numbers are down across the board?
Right. You were talking about the FCG, how, you know, numbers were down for just, one tournament.
And... Right. That's for the registration, though. This is completely... This is
viewership. So.
This is a different, but I guess the interest... Yeah, the interest is
a 10% drop is a huge drop. I mean, right. So it's not like a small number by all means, so...
Now, again, ESPN2, Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern.
And people are cutting the cord also. Yeah, but that wouldn't explain why Twitch didn't kind of make up for that difference, though, at the same time, obviously.
Well, but still, I think at one point it peaked around, 200. I think it peaked over 200 viewers during the Street Fighter Finals on Twitch and stuff. It wasn't... I just bring it up because it's esports on TV. I really don't think it means anything. The future of esports on TV does not rest on a 10 p.m. Eastern slot on ESPN2.
No, and people are still excited and sleepy from Game of Thrones.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. That was on the premiere of Game of Thrones night. No one's thinking that.
But it pulled better numbers than, like, girls softball or something,
Surely no you would calls. Hope. You would hope.
Women's softball.
Then you have what was also on TV, the Super Smash Bros. Wii U or Super Smash Bros. 4, whatever you want to call it. That was on Disney XD. Do you even know what channel
Yeah, it's in my favorites. It's channel 159.
You watch it all the time?
Oh, yeah.
You got to catch up on your Ultimate Spider-Man.
Between that and Legends of the Hidden Temple, like, I'm on it 24-7.
Legends of the Hidden Temple is Nickelodeon?
They've moved over.
Ooh.
I don't believe you.
You don't know, so.
Fact check.
Can't question.
I don't
can't
know,
say anything.
I don't know enough about the Nickelodeon Disney XD exchange here, so I guess you're right. I can't prove you wrong. But no, Super Smash Bros. Wii U. I didn't watch it on TV. I don't have cable. But... It was awesome, man. This was the first year that Smash U was on the main stage, and Melee was on Saturday night. It was super weird seeing Super Smash Bros. Melee on a Saturday night. I think that's fine if they want to move Smash U to the main stage. I get it. It's the new game. Evo
they should have done that a long time ago, though.
They should have. You know, Smash U deserves its spot there for the top. But so does Melee. Like, I don't think it's wrong to put both up there.
No, it's not. They both can have their own space. But, like, I can understand the push to make, like, the newer generation systems. Like, people move on in every other game. There's not many games where it's like, go back and play Street Fighter 2. It's not like they're doing that right now in these tournaments either. Right. So, I feel like it's good that at least Wii U is holding its spot and getting an opportunity to be in the spotlight. Hell, it's a great game. I mean, it's fun.
It's great and it has its following. But like I said, just as far as the history though with Melee, it needs to be there on Sunday.
And for that purpose,
it needs to be in the stadium for Championship Sunday.
I wonder how hard it is for them to get newer players on. Melee.
Their registrations are pretty good every year.
Well, they're probably still getting that age group. I'm talking about you start looking 5, 10 years from now.
I'm sure someone who cares a lot more than we do have ran the numbers, and they probably think we need to start investing in the future, which...
Well, because there's even a new system out, We're looking at the Switch, so I'm sure at some point that'll get its own.
Yeah, you're going to get Smash Brothers on the Switch.
Yeah.
What's going to happen there? Is the Smash U community going to stay as loyal as the Melee? Or are they going to be like, nope, new fancy system, we're going to play this no matter what? There is that demographic there.
Yeah.
Is there that cult following, though? Like, I feel like there is one for Melee,
for
right?
Melee, yes. For Melee, you have a cult following. I would not say Smash U is at that point.
I would assume the Smash U community, if I were to guess, obviously I'm not an expert on this field, but if I were to guess, I would say the Wii U community would go over to the Switch once there's a game on there. I mean,
I would have to assume at least at the start, unless they completely destroy
the game itself
much like they did in Brawl for the Wii. Unless they completely destroyed the game like they did in that, I don't think you would see as much retention with Wii U. But nonetheless, like I said, it was awesome here. Salem ended up defeating Zero in the finals in the most crazy tournament there. Salem ended up restarting the bracket, coming from losers, to fight Zero. And then it took it all the way to the very last. It was 2-2, best of five. So first to three wins. Dude, it was... I don't even know how to describe it. You have to go on YouTube and watch the replay because Zero had it. I think he was up by almost like 70%. And he got super aggressive. Super aggressive and kept charging at Salem. Salem took him to the top and knocked him out of the screen.
Who's considered the better player in
Zero.
The
scene? I would highly say Zero, if you ask anyone, Zero is the best player in Wii U.
Who won last year?
Ally won last year. He did not even... He got 49th place this year.
Jeez.
Yeah, he wasn't even...
Where was the drop-off? Did you watch it all?
No, no. They're not going to put 49th place on stream. Are you kidding? I don't even know. To be honest, I do not know what happened to him. I was looking... When I was doing the show research, I was like, God, did he not play in Evo? And then I looked, and I was like, oh my.
Classic CSGO wrist injury.
Something... I mean, you know, it's an elimination tournament. It can happen to the best of them, right? The pros start there.
Is Zero the guy that won... DreamHack?
Yeah, same guy. Same guy. We had a liner from him in the intro today. Same guy who wears a scarf and Gunner Optics and want to punch him in the face. But he's a good dude. Good.
Yeah, he's no, good. I felt good, like he was genuine.
Good dude that you want to punch in the face. It happens. It happens. Speaking of, though, the older brother of Wii U, you have Super Smash Bros. Melee. Of course, always a good show there. Armada ended up beating Mango in the finals with HBox coming in third and Mewtwo King coming in fourth. About the standard for a Melee tournament. It's fascinating to me how there is so much parity in the top four or five of that game, and then it just severely drops off. But yet, everyone is... It's still fascinating. Like, you don't care. You don't want to see the other people.
You see you're seeing the best of the best.
Right, you want to watch these
guys. You see their names every time at the top of every tournament.
Yeah, never gets old there. Tekken 7, this was like its first big Evo premiere. It just came out for consoles and PC. You had a Echo Fox versus Echo Fox matchup. That was kind of cool seeing it. You know, you got to think Rick Fox was probably
cheering him on both. Yeah, he's pretty happy there.
Pretty happy there. You know, both of your guys in there.
He's heavy in the FCG, like, just all over the place.
As most brothers are. As most brothers are.
It's really cool to see how much Rick Fox, though, really does pay attention to all of his esports teams. He's very involved. And cool to see from an owner that's also a celebrity at the same time.
Well, but he also got in through being a fan, right?
Yeah.
He's one of those big investors that actually likes...
One of the Terry Crews situations. Which is his kids played, right. And that's how he got into it.
Yeah, I like seeing that. Like, those type of owners, like a Mark Cuban, you know, he's so heavily invested in the team, and he's a fan of the team he owns. I like it.
I would say if Mark Cuban bought an esports team, he would not be a fan.
No, but Brett's talking about, like, Mark Cuban is towards the Mavericks.
Same owner.
Yeah. The way Mark Cuban treats the Mavericks, you feel like Rick Fox is treating all of his teams.
Yeah,
just
similar.
Into it. It looks like he's sitting courtside at every game, you know, the way he acts. Yeah.
But so you had JDCR beat Saint in Tekken 7. Marvel vs. Capcom, and probably it's swan song for Evo, because Marvel vs. Capcom 4, I think, is coming out in September. It's coming out soon. And keep in mind, this year, Marvel vs. Capcom wasn't even on the original list for Evo. It was fan-voted in.
Yep.
So this is probably the last time we'll see it again, unless they screw up Marvel vs. Capcom 4.
It's still might not be back.
That's kind of how the fighting game community works, right? You kind of have to screw up one enough to where there's still a fan base in there.
And like I said, this was fan voted in,
right.
So there's a chance it's not back next year at all.
I don't think it's back next year because already it was fan voted in, meaning it's already seeing its dying light.
It's in its twilight days.
And whatever little fan base it has is probably going to move over to the new flashy one, as you do. You had Ryan LV beat Chris G in Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Now, one here that I was very interested in was Injustice 2. This was the first Evo. It literally came out in May, so, I mean, it's still a new game. I was actually thinking about picking it up. I told myself I was going to wait till Christmas and hopefully get it like a Game of the Year edition and not buy all the DLC.
I see you playing Tekken right now.
I'm a sucker. Not anymore, sir.
Not anymore.
I returned it.
Did you?
Yes.
Well, that's sad.
It's okay.
Tekken 7
is good.
It looks like the same game. It's because I used to play Tekken back in the day, and well, to me, like, just the mechanics just look the same.
No, it's, it's Tekken is Tekken. Here's my thing. I'm more of a Mortal Kombat fighter type of guy. I don't know. I enjoy Tekken 7. I've also decided I'm giving up the fighting stick. I'm going to go back to a controller.
Normal controller?
I wanted to be the cool guy who had a fighting stick. You can see it there behind you.
Cool guy, he says. I said that in quotes.
But I just... I spent my too long in life using a controller.
Just this is what we're used to. Do it for America, Tim.
That's what I think. Right. As an American, I feel like I should use a controller because I tried doing a fighting stick for like the last 2 years now.
The thing is massive, dude.
When Street Fighter came out, I bought the fighting stick because I was like, no, I'm going to use a fighting stick because it's universal.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what you use it on, it's basically I can buy the Xbox and a PS4 version and be done with it. And I don't have to, whatever, right? My friend has it on game. Whatever, bro. I'll bring over my fighting stick. It doesn't matter. It's the same controller. Yeah. Just can't do it. Can't do it. It's a different mindset. I'm impressed by the people who can use a fighting stick. I am not one. My brain does not work that way. So, sorry. But Injustice 2 was actually a very fascinating tournament. Going into it, the reason I'm so intrigued with Injustice 2 is because basically it killed Mortal Kombat X. You know, they're both made by NetherRealm. It's not a predecessor to Mortal Kombat, but it is in the sense of it's the same crowd, right? The same. You're not going to have both on there because they're virtually the same thing, just one has a DC skin, right?
Yeah, Mortal Kombat X kind of killed itself a little bit, too.
Yeah, we've discussed it in the past, just with all the patches and balance updates and aliens.
Characters,
and just,
yeah.
Yeah, just it wasn't... Wasn't as
Echo Fox made another good showing here. I see. I mean, it looks like they're doing pretty well in the fighting game community.
Yeah, no, they're big in the fighting game community in general. Now, the juicy thing here, though, that I want to get out of the way. Okay, and anybody who has listened to the show knows I am not a fan of Sonic Fox. In fact, I get pleasure after seeing him lose. Because he's the Patriots. Right? You hate the winners because they always win. To give you a sense of how much he wins, in Mortal Kombat, out of like the 2 year window that game had, which just shows you how bad it was when it only has like a 2 year window, like that just doesn't happen in a big esport, right? That game would have more shelf life than that. But he got first place in Mortal Kombat tournaments at Evo 15 and 16, and then he got first in all three Pro Leagues.
Jeez.
The dude just didn't lose at Mortal Kombat.
Is he also the furry?
He is also the furry, Brett. And that brings me to my next point about Sonic Fox, okay? It's 2017. I get it. You need to accept everyone, right? Listen. You want to be gay? Be gay. You want to be a trans? Be a trans. I love you all the same. I think it's beautiful, right? Express yourself.
But a furry?
But a furry is where old man Tim draws the line. Okay, that is where I draw the line.
That's where you wear, like, the costume and walk around or something, isn't it?
Dude, Sonic Fox will wear ears.
A tail.
He'll wear a tail on stage in good faith to esports. I cannot go to my friends who want to get into esports. And I'm like, fighting games are normally an easy one to get them into because everyone loves a fighting game.
Yeah, there's so much hype.
Yeah, so much hype, and it's easy to follow. And then, all of a sudden... There's Sonic Fox lifting the trophy as you see his foxtail coming out of his pants.
And his gloves, too. He even has, like...
Yeah, he doesn't wear those all the time, but he does have,
like... Does he, like, do this outside of esports, too? Dude, or?
Follow his Twitter.
I would only assume. No,
look at his Twitter. Look at his Twitter, and it's exactly what you would imagine. I'm sure he's a super nice guy.
Mm. But weird.
But weird. Which is... Just,
no, it's fine. There's a lot of weird people out there. It's all right.
But that's Echo. And then, to keep in mind, though, also the reason I enjoyed this so much is because he did get fifth place at this Evo. Actually, Injustice 2 in general is having a pretty good outbreak into the pro scene. So, in the big three tournaments of the year so far for fighting games, you have Combo Breaker, CEO, and now Evo. Combo Breaker, you had Sonic Fox win. He won the first big Injustice 2 tournament, and everyone was basically like, here we go again. right? Okay, Sonic Fox is back, and we're just going to have a repeat of what happened with Mortal Kombat. And then you have... But that wasn't the case, because at CEO, you had White Boy win, and then at Evo, you now have Dragon, who beat Honeybee in an amazing finals as well. That was edge of your seat, get a heart attack worthy of a finals for Injustice 2. But not only have you had three different winners of actual pros, alongside, you also have had three different characters winning tournaments, which is something huge and unheard of.
Yeah, that's
for,
a pretty awesome
for
part.
A NetherRealm game, right? Dragon used Aquaman and Poison Ivy, White Boy used Scarecrow, and then Sonic Fox used Black Adam and Deadshot.
Yeah, like none of them were even crossovers. Even if they had two characters, you still don't see any, like...
No,
no. Just, which you don't see that often. Usually there's somebody that's slightly OP, yeah. You feel.
Really, really good stuff there from Injustice 2. I'm really... Like I said, I kind of want to go buy it, but I kind of also... don't want to go and buy all the DLC, especially when two episodes ago I ranted about...
Just wait for that all-inclusive.
I normally wait for the Game of the Year edition for fighting games, yep. And then I'll go pick it up and be behind the curve and then be mad and wonder why I suck so bad.
And then you return it after a couple hours.
That's exactly what happens. I get my fix in. But that was Evo. It's awesome. We'll be... can't wait for next year. I kind of want to go 1 year. 1 year, maybe when we are popular enough, we can... justify going to Evo 1 year.
It's Vegas, man.
Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas. I mean, out of it. I'm not saying it's going to be difficult to convince you guys.
It might be.
Is that yours?
No.
Is that an ice cream
it's
truck
ice cream
out
truck
my
truck
door?
Outside.
Dude, lost the show.
I was like, dude, no. That's
I thought
not
that was
like
your phone.
It's a B ice cream
yeah,
truck.
Yeah, for real. Hold on, guys. We'll be right back. No, okay.
Right after these commercial breaks.
Good to know. An ice cream truck goes in my neighborhood. All right. What were we even talking about? Evo, great, awesome. We'll go 1 year. It's not difficult to convince grown-ass adults to go to Vegas, but...
The difficult part is going to an event other than the casinos
and
or something.
There's that whole thing called money that we don't get from the show, oddly enough.
Not yet.
Not yet. But let's move on to the major, okay? So you have the PGL Krakow? I was getting yelled at last week on how I say
Krakow.
It. Krakow. For the major there, F it, the PGL CSGO major, how about that?
There we go.
The pool play just ended up wrapping up just a handful of hours ago. How do we feel? I know we during the preview, we were kind of glorifying the Swiss format, saying how awesome it was, and it's kind of seemed to backfire a little bit.
Well, I only feel like maybe there's two teams that I can single out, G2 and FaZe. As teams that were, you know, I thought were, you know, locks to move on and be in the top eight. But other than that, I mean, you know,
that wasn't the issue that I had with it.
Them, and I'm not really surprised, to be honest.
I had issues with the seeding because there isn't any. I thought that was a problem. Like, I mean, I know we said it was pretty randomized, but Tim and I were kind of talking about this off air. You should never have legend teams meeting in the first round, first of all. You definitely shouldn't have, I mean, teams like SK and Astralis playing each other, I think, that early on. They should do it, just seed it, and then not reseed after each round, but follow the seeding. Yeah. And that way, yeah, it's a little bit more difficult for a lower-seeded team, but isn't that kind of the advantage? I mean,
yeah.
At the end, you had Immortals and Flipside playing when you have Fnatic and G2, Cloud9 and VP at the end. I mean, it just seemed like the last round, the round five matchups were totally skewed. I mean, you had the two easily would be considered the worst teams remaining playing each other and two of the best teams playing each other. So it just kind of backfired there at the end, along with all the other stuff that happened in the major.
You got Astralis playing SK in the quarterfinals, right?
Yep. I mean, they didn't even reseed it going into the playoffs.
No, and we'll get to the quarterfinals here in a second. I don't want to talk about too much about that right now. Let's talk about the quarterfinals here in a couple of minutes, but let's first talk about how we got there. Because, Anuj, you hinted at the fact that there was a lot of other things that went on.
Yeah, I mean, and to start off, you obviously had the C9 game early on, which if anyone wasn't paying attention, there is a bug that's in the game right now.
And you're talking about the C9 versus Big.
C9 versus Big. It was a round two matchup. You saw Big do this in their first game, which was against FaZe, which was a big upset at the time, right? Everyone saw that.
Yeah,
it
seemed
like,
huge at the time for Big to take out FaZe.
FaZe falls into the loser's bracket, and unexpected Big moves on to the winner's bracket. Well, Big played Inferno all three maps, and one of the big points in understanding how, you know, why this is a big deal is there's a jump bug currently, where if you do a crouch jump, which makes you do not only a silent jump in this case, is allowing you to peek over walls without your head being seen. So it's almost like playing a third-person game and not giving away your location, but yet seeing the opponent's location. So there was a gentleman's agreement made, hey, none of us should do this anymore. Well, Big had already set strats for this. I mean, you could tell that they knew this was in the game. They had planned for it. They knew every spot on all the maps where you could do it, and they took advantage of it. They went 3-0. I'm sure all of us had them as their 3-0 pick on our pick'em.
In
so
fact,
at least
I don't even know if I had them going through.
I actually had FaZe as my 0-3, so that was that was pretty awesome.
Great.
Yeah, that was real good.
Yeah,
no, I'm just
sure
playing, but yeah, I mean, that started off, that kicked off the events right there, you know. And what are your thoughts?
I think it's a shame for multiple reasons. Now, when they first did it against FaZe,
yep,
I was like, okay, it's whatever, right?
The Fnatic boost.
Fnatic's
right?
done it before where yeah. it was the pixel boosting, where they would basically find an invisible box on a wall and jump on it, and it was called pixel.
Yeah, you could hold a boost.
Pixel boost, right. Well, that was very frowned upon and quickly nipped in the butt where the league said, don't do it.
They took away that match from them, didn't they?
I do. Dude, that was forever ago.
Well, I
do not remember if
they took the match
away
from them or they penalized them in some
way. But they did
way.
Say, like, do not yeah. do it again. And I felt like that should have been the rule here where, okay, you did it the first time. Don't do it again. It's not supposed to be in the game. You know, it's different from... Think of something that is in the game. I don't know, bouncing a grenade off a skybox or something, right?
Or bunny hopping.
Bunny hopping, right?
Yeah.
It's in there, but it's not a bug. It's not a glitch. It's just the mechanics of it and everything there. This is way different, and it's a shame because in our preview show, we were saying how cool it was to see Big here, a team that is new and relatively out of nowhere. You have God B on it, but for the most part, the rest are fresh.
Right.
And then they do this.
Now, I also don't want to take away their three wins from them.
They
beat SK. Played very well. Yeah. God B was on point with his calls. Tabson looked like the all-star that we, you know,
and
many people
and
thought he was.
You know, Cloud9 was doing it too.
Oh,
you saw Cloud9.
Yeah, you saw other teams. You saw Simple, you know, did it. Now, the reason that Valve can't just say, hey, or PGL can't come out and say, hey, guys, don't do this anymore, is because that jump is used so often. It's the quiet jump, right? So it allows you to jump, fall off of something, peek over something normally, and not give your location away, especially if players are close to you. So it had to be done in the gentleman's agreement way. I do know for a fact in the C9 big game, they both were allowing it to happen. They had talked before the match and said that it's okay if you do it. You know, C9.
It is what it is.
Yeah, C9 wanted to play Inferno, so that it is what it is. But it did take away from
it added an asterisk.
Yeah,
and you never
drew attention away from the major. And
right.
This is the biggest event. So,
and I think Valve does have the power. It's Valve sponsored tournament. They have the power to go in there and be like, don't do it.
But how do you ban that? Like, I mean, again, there was a moment where people were accusing Simple of doing it, and he came out and said, I could hear them around the corner. And so I did a quiet jump so they wouldn't notice I was there. He goes, nothing I can do about that. Like, I have to do it in that situation. He didn't use it necessarily to peek, he said. It was to, like, kind of make movement and get away. But how do you control unless you literally have a monitor for each player and are watching what they're watching? And it's just a very difficult thing.
Yeah.
It should be patched more than anything.
Anytime players get together and, you know, talk things out like that, something needs to change, right? Like,
I think
how involved was Valve, after that players' meeting of saying, all right, we're cracking down. Did they even come out and say that they're cracking down?
See, I think what should have happened was, rather than being gentleman agreements between teams for individual matchups, It should have been Valve or PGL going to every single team, taking a vote, and then afterwards saying, okay, the majority of the team said don't do it, so don't do it.
And even then, though, you just can't ban a team. For, like, it should have just been everybody do it this tournament. You all have the advantage. Take advantage of it in this situation and let Valve patch it after the tournament.
Or at the end of the day, I think it falls on Valve.
100% falls on Valve. It shouldn't be in the game.
And another thing that I think is a little wrongly pointed at, same thing, that it was very addressed in that match alone, was the connection issues, the technical pauses.
Shroud didn't have a graphics driver updated on his
Shroud
computer.
Shroud didn't even have the NVIDIA graphics driver to update his computer.
Thoughts on that, because a lot of people were saying, like, oh, we check that stuff. Like, players should check that stuff prior to the match.
Now, what's funny to me is that a lot of players were complaining about, man, my computer's crap. And I wonder if it's always that same computer.
Yeah, like if
that's
they were
what
all
I don't. Everyone's blaming Shroud. Not everyone, but there was a handful of people blaming Shroud for not checking it. First off, this is the second day, and there's been about
30-40 games prior to this.
There's been
a lot of play.
Yeah, a lot of play before 30, on that same rounds. Computer. And then, no, they should not have to check it. Players should not have to check. Players check their resolution. They check their sensitivity.
They do their in-game settings, their field of view.
Their monitor settings, everything
anything
there.
Related to console
they
and all that.
They don't have to make sure that their computer is up to date.
No.
Okay, should I defragment my computer before this game? Should I clear my cookies before the game? No. Players should not
delete
have
my browsing
to,
history.
Yeah, players should not have to worry about that type of stuff in the middle of the game. That falls on PGL, I feel.
Well, on top of that, they asked them to upgrade their processors. They were using i5s, so PGL went and upgraded them all to i7s. Like, this is the major. Step your game up. You have a great UI. You put on an awesome qualifier.
Right. It's weird
people
that you
were
can't
hyped
get,
up.
Like, sponsors for that, right?
I mean, Intel's a sponsor. Oh, I guess Intel's a sponsor of ESL, so maybe.
But how hard can that be to get some...
You would think somebody would step... But even then, you're talking about 10 PCs at the end of the day. There's only 10 on...
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there's only 10. There's only one game going on at a time. So upgrade them. How hard is that, you know?
Yeah, so I wanted PGL to kind of step up their game. I was rooting for them because I wanted them to put pressure on these other major organizations to improve their UI and improve their presentation. But it's your first major... Go big or go home, right? Why are these even issues?
Yeah, and I've heard from a couple previous majors, and I don't quote me on this. I have no idea if it's true, but Valve also has a hand in this as well, as far as like supplying the internet and things like that, like helping with the equipment. I've heard that in the past. I have no idea if it's true. Regardless, there has to be some quality control involved
with
this.
It needs to be a set standard for tournaments this size.
There really does. Or how about just a set standard in general?
That would be nice. You can't expect like every LAN to do it, but like your DreamHacks, your ESLs, your PGLs, your MLGs. Like,
there should be a standard to where, hey, if your PCs don't meet these requirements, an i5...
They have 240
Who runs an
hertz?
i5 anymore?
They have 240 hertz monitors, and they have i5s running. It's like, what are you guys doing?
It doesn't make any sense.
A couple things I want us to touch on. I know we got another segment to do here.
Real quick, and I'll let you get to that, because it's just on the same topic. As far as like the internet issue and people yelling at PGL, I'll make one comparison here, okay? When the internet goes down at your house, is it your fault?
No,
it's not. So don't blame PGL for having internet issues and things like that.
It's in Poland. Like, who knows? Maybe it was bad reception that day. Well, whatever. It could have been 100 different things.
It's esports, right? Yeah. And I kid you not, listeners, every time we record the show at my house, every time I have to figure out a problem because for whatever reason, out of the three computers I use to record and everything, one of them doesn't want to work the way it did last week.
Look at the time the show started. We were here at about 7:45 today. Took us about 15-20 minutes just to get it
figured out. It's computers. It's esports. That will never go away.
It won't. And that wasn't the big deal. Like I said, it was like the drivers,
also,
the processors. There's plenty of other...
No one knows how to break a PC like a professional Counter-Strike player.
Dude, whatever
that
they do in those first 15 minutes...
talent.
Like, you're plugging in two USB products, so I don't get... how there's always something every time they switch PCs. But
every time.
It is what it is.
But on to your point.
So a couple different things. this was huge because there were four teams, in my opinion, that didn't make legend status or playoff status that most people probably had moving on. Starting off with G2, that again is a French super team. A lot of high expectations.
One ESL
going in.
Dallas.
One ESL Dallas. Yeah, I mean, they won Pro League. Fell a little bit short, I think, in ESL 1. I don't know exactly what their record was there, but I know they didn't. Obviously, they didn't win it. They weren't in the finals, so that was kind of a bummer for them. But them getting eliminated. And they played relatively hard teams throughout the way. I mean, they played Na'Vi, Gambit, Cloud9, Astralis, and Fnatic. So all five of their games were
fifth through eighth place. So, yeah, they did really bad at ESL Cologne.
And they had one of the harder draws. So, again, this is where the Swiss format hurt them. They didn't have a team like Penta, Vega, or FaZe to stomp on. Then you have a team like Na'Vi, who, again, disappointing, 1-3, not getting legend status. You know, they're going to have to qualify. I feel bad for the qualifiers next time around because there's a lot of good teams
here. It's going to be rough.
Mao Sports, a team that was on the rise. Again, those guys, you know, lost 3 out of 4 matches.
But one thing to take with, like, Mao Sports, and you know what? Even at risk of trying to make excuses for Cloud9 and being a Cloud9 fanboy, like, Cloud9 and Mouse, those are young teams when it comes to a major.
You know,
with Stewie and Automatic and everything like that.
They're a good mix. They're both a good mix of young and old with nothing.
Not making legendary status is not a... You still made it to the major.
Making it to the major is a big deal, but for a team like Cloud9, who this is 7 straight, I think. I mean,
well, they didn't even qualify for the last one.
Well, yeah, but 7 straight majors where they haven't even made the playoffs, whether they've qualified or not, haven't gotten legend status. So I think that's the bigger deal, particular one.
But to try and compare what happened to Cloud9 or Mouse Sports, or even Na'Vi, or listen, FaZe takes the cake for.
FaZe is a royal choke job.
Even looking to G2. FaZe is just one worse.
See, like I said, with G2, they had tough competition. G2 did not have one easy game in the tournament.
No,
starting with their first game, all the way to their elimination match in round 5, did not play one easy time. In round 4, they had Astralis, which is incredible to think that these two teams are meeting up at that point. FaZe was the complete opposite. FaZe had Big. Big was coming in as a huge underdog in that matchup. In the final round, they played Flipside, or their final round, I should say, round 3, they played Flipside, again, considered to be one of the weaker teams. Mouse was the best team they played, and even then, there's a distinct difference. FaZe is the number 2 ranked team in the world, and put up an 0-3 show. Nico is catching on to Skadoodle's record here, that's 5 straight for him now, of not making the playoffs, and you are considered a top 2 player in the world. I think you need to reconsider.
Are we getting to the point now where people are going to give Nico the LeBron treatment?
Yeah, I mean, he deserves it though, right? I mean, you have the LeBron, the Sergio Garcias, the Phil Mickelsons.
And all those have at least won something.
Now they have, you know.
LeBron gets that treatment. He's got 3 or 4 champions.
Yeah, so. I mean, Nico's still got plenty of time, but you got to remember, these teams are constantly evolving. Teams are only getting better. I mean, look at ColdZera, that's what the best player in the world does. Drop 35 kills in a match. ColdZera in 3 matches, in their first 3 matches, put up 98 kills, and none of those games went into overtime. That's insane. That's a lot of work.
Teams that surprised me was Virtus Pro. I know a lot of people are saying that, it's just because they underperform. Normally they underperform throughout the year. I think it's very obvious here on the show that they frustrate me. I used to be kind of a fan from them. They're Polish. I'm Polish. It's a natural.
I'm still a fan of them.
It's a natural fit.
Personalities are great for these
guys.
But
in my eyes, they're overperforming now. I know, Taz and all them, they've come out and said before where it's like, well, it's just those other tournaments. It's just they're not worth it for us. As a Virtus Pro fan, that would really upset me. Where if you are too good for a tournament, we discussed it on air last Thursday, of does the money change them, right? Does their new big contract change the way Virtus Pro thinks and prepares? And clearly it does. If you're saying that these other $225,000 tournaments or $100,000 tournaments aren't worth your time, if I was a fan, I'd be like,
I mean, I don't know if
there's... Go ahead, Brett. Me and Tim talked about that today, where we were hoping... Well, I mean, Tim wanted Cloud9 to beat VP because he's a Cloud9 fan. Sweet. But I wanted to see Cloud9 win because we wanted VP to be like, all right, VP, you know this tournament that you know really don't care about because it doesn't have a big prize pool? Guess what? You're going to have to perform because you got to qualify for that next major. So... good luck.
And
you know,
I'm not a Cloud9 hater. Like, I root for them, you know. I want to see them do well. I really root for any NA team for the most part. You know, I root for them and Liquid pretty much evenly. I was definitely okay with VP winning this game for one reason alone. This was VP's home turf. They're getting a chance to play in front of their home fans. It's going to be a heck of an atmosphere once they enter the arena.
The last time, I think it was last Krakow tournament last year, VP ended up getting eliminated early on.
Yeah.
And the crowd, like, immediately took a hit.
This was the whole bomb site issue thing where people were holding up signs to them and stuff.
And you immediately saw the second VP got out, that home stand was like,
yeah, peace. No, it really exciting to see them make it. I'm happy for them. I don't know if it's money that changed, you know, changes their perception of the game, but I think they handle pressure very well.
They do. You know, I think it's funny because before the tournament, everyone was like, okay, if they don't perform, they're done. This roster's done. This tournament just added lifespan for at least another 8 months.
They got their contracts guaranteed.
Right.
They had the second highest round differential in this tournament. So, I mean, they perform well even in their losses, right? They lost by like 2 rounds against North and like four or five rounds against Gambit. But, you know, they're performing well. I think Counter-Strike's more exciting when VP's relevant.
True. I think you can say that for mainly any of those like original teams. When you think like VP, Navi,
their personalities are so much fun to see. I mean, with Pasha, he's a great personality. Taz, Snacks, these guys have fun with the game, so you enjoy watching them perform. But seeing them again, home crowd. Like I said, they do good in these big tournaments because I just think they handle pressure very well. That's why they step up because it doesn't seem to phase them. You know, they were at a breakpoint situation there at 2-2, and we've seen Cloud9 underperform in these situations, and you see VP perform. It was just kind of a
Cloud9
bad mix.
Cloud9 does not play well
under pressure.
Under this kind of pressure.
No. So, and then you got your heavy favorite. You got a couple heavy favorites moving on. You're going to see Astralis or SK, one of them be knocked out in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, let's move on to those quarterfinals here quickly. We probably won't have time to talk the Overwatch League. That's not really a time-sensitive thing. We can always talk about that. That's not a huge deal. Because I do want to spend time talking about the quarterfinals. You mentioned Astralis, SK are matched up. That is a... that's finals worthy, right? That is it. You have a grand finals match right now in the quarterfinals.
Where's the swear jar at, real quick?
That was all of our finals.
it's right here.
Well,
if you'd like to put in, it's $10.
Like, this is incredible. This is some of the worst matchups you could have possibly seen in this draw. Because not only do you have SK and Astralis on the same side, you have Fnatic and Gambit. So again, you have two of the weakest teams. I believe we can all agree on playing each other, Immortals and Big. Just a terrible draw. This is just not exciting for me going into the later, you know, your semifinals and your finals matchups. Unless VP makes it all the way, this will be a little underwhelming.
Look at the eight teams that are in this thing. The four worst teams are playing each other, and the four best teams are playing each other in the quarterfinals, right? Like, you look at the bracket, and
I could easily see Virtus Pro making it to the finals, just given their draw. The wild card in all of this is Big. Big is the wild card. We've only seen them perform on Inferno.
Inferno's
literally
insta-ban.
Like, that's not even like a throwaway statement. They literally won all three of their games in group play.
They guarantee you they will not touch Inferno the rest of this tournament. It's going to be insta-ban regardless of who they play. So they will have to show that they're capable on other maps. We've seen the jump bug exploited on other maps. Again, I don't want to put too much focus on that.
But that's why I said that's why they are the wild card.
But
they beat SK for crying out loud.
What if? Tell me how miserable this would be as an NA fan. What if
Immortals
we
SK?
Have Immortals SK
it would
in the
beat
finals?
Me down.
I don't even think I could do it. I don't think I could do it.
It would be like our first DreamHack Austin we went to. Wasn't that the case? It was Immortals versus SK.
Yeah, but you knew that was going to happen.
This is a major.
This would be...
You think that's a beatdown for us. Imagine people there. Imagine EU.
Dude, stands would be pretty empty, I promise you that. I know people like SK and want to watch SK, but to see an all BR final, that would break some hearts, man. Like, it would really break some hearts.
So who do you have now? Now that we know... Clearly, I think by default, we all said going in, SK was our favorites to win it, even before quarterfinals. So who do you guys have now going with, you know, now that the brackets are set?
I have SK playing VP in the finals. I really do.
I'm right there with you, Anoush. Same exact outcome. I have VP playing SK. I mean, I don't think anybody can really beat SK right now.
I think SK and Big will be in the finals.
Oh my gosh.
From what I saw with Big, man,
he's got to go out on a limb, dude. Every time.
C9 lost to Big. Tim picked Big. Like, it's all kind of related in one way. It's kind of like Tim might as well tell you it's SK C9 in the finals still, because it's very likely that could happen.
It might as well be.
I think we see North and VP is going to be a fun matchup. There's already hate being spewed on Twitter between Taz and Config. Can't even repeat some of the words that I read on there, so...
But how much of that is a joke, right?
Hey, you know what? It probably is, but it's like selling a boxing match. You know, you got Mayweather yelling at McGregor. It draws attention. They're doing a good job of it. You're going to see a loud audience, I feel, which is going to be... Again, I think the atmosphere is going to be great. Like, I wish this was one of those tournaments we could hop in for a VP game or two, because it is... It's really going to be something else.
And that... when does that all start? Friday? Saturday? I should probably know this.
They're taking a day off, right? Friday, right?
It's not even showing here on...
Friday's quarter, Saturday's, semis, and Sunday's final?
Right here, July 21st. So that's Friday. Yep, Friday is quarters, then semis, and then finals with, I'm sure, a riveting show match on Sunday. A captivating show match that will always take place.
Is it All-Stars again or something?
I don't know. The show matches are the biggest waste. I mean, just like any All-Star game, it doesn't make it any more exciting.
Right? On the end in the finals?
I believe so.
I believe that's how they're doing that.
Again.
I don't have time. I'm ready to just see the 3-0 sweep by SK. Let's move on. Let them hold the trophy and on to the next tournament.
So we have a day off in between then. So we will be back next week. I'm actually just going to make a executive decision right now. No e-news. Nothing really happened.
It's just one topic anyway.
The major's been stuffed with just stuff in the week with CSGO Major. You had Evo. We had too much to get to in this episode.
Two of the biggest events on the same weekend.
It's huge. Yeah. It was a busy weekend if you are into esports, man. But we will be back next week recapping the major. Probably the majority of that. Maybe we'll talk some Overwatch League. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Hopefully we get some more announcements from Overwatch.
Hopefully some more. Maybe a clutch. You know what? Maybe next week we can get a clutch or kick going here. We haven't done one of those in a while. They're fun.
How about an eighth team? That'd be good news.
Yeah, just one more team. But we'll get into that next week. Until then, I thank you all for listening to The Center Ring. Again, it's our pleasure. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. If you listen on iTunes, smash that 5-star review. And hit us up on Discord and our website, tcr.gg. Until then, we'll see you next week. Thank you.